Welcome to the broadcast. Brother Eric John Phelps coming to you today, live and direct from Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, on February 6, 2024, which is a Tuesday, and welcoming you to the broadcast with 24/7 World Radio, ultimately to find another host. But in the meantime, I'll be giving podcasts for our mutual edification, Lord willing, and for the furtherance of the gospel and for the exposure of the Satan's mystery of iniquity, which is spearheaded by none other than the Jesuit general, overseen and guided by the devil. So we pray that the Lord will bless our broadcast just now. And the title of the broadcast is The Two Babylons. The Two Babylons. There is a Babylon that originated after the flood, became a world power. There is that Babylon, the religion of Babylon, that became Mystery Babylon in Rome. And hence Rome today is Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. And then this very harlot, Mystery Babylon, is transported out of Rome in the middle of the 70th week of years of the prophet Daniel, when the final pope of Rome is slain with a sword. And he's risen from the dead. He's the phoenix rising out of his ashes to be invincible. And he will then rule the world for 3.5 years from his world capital in rebuilt city of Babylon that will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ just prior to his second coming. So, there's a Babylon that is Mystery Babylon today, which is Romanism. It's centered in a city on seven hills, Revelation 13, 18. Mystery Babylon's in a city on seven hills, which is Rome. And then there's Babylon of Revelation 18, which the woman is there, that same satanic, covetous, idolatrous religion of Babylon, of Rome, has been transported to the rebuilt city of Babylon to be the world commercial capital for the Pope, the slain pope, the final pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead, to be the beast man, the antichrist, the son of perdition, this man of lawlessness, to rule the world possessed by Satan, or in fact, Satan incarnate, indwelling this man. And there are only two sons of perdition in the Bible. One is Judas, who was indwelt by Satan and personally opposed Christ. And there's the future son of perdition that's coming, is the final pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead, and dwelt by Satan to also oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are only two sons of perdition in the Bible. So now, before we begin, I want you to, we're going to review just a little bit of historical Babylon. We read concerning the historical kingdom of Babylon, headed up by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who is spoken much about by the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 and other places. And this Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in 586 will destroy the temple, Solomon's temple. He will destroy Jerusalem, and he will rip down the walls of Jerusalem. All is a judgment from God for the sin and iniquity and idolatry of his beloved Hebrew Jewish Israelitish people under the Abrahamic covenant for disobeying him. So we read concerning Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. 2 Kings chapter 25 verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. That means it was under siege for 2 years. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night, by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of the king Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord. That's the temple. That's Solomon's temple. The house of the Lord is the temple. And the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. This is what God did to his elect, beloved nation of Israel for departing from him. And this would begin the 70 years captivity that was prophesied by Jeremiah for not giving the land rest as they were supposed to, as well as for their idolatry and sin and departing from the Lord. So this is the Babylon. This is historic ancient Babylon. Now we must go to Jeremiah 50. Well, now we're going to go to Psalm 137 verse 8. Psalm 137 verse 8 here, knowing that we take the scripture literally. We do not allegorically read the scripture, which is a doctrine of Satan, which was first promulgated by Origen of that satanic city of Alexandria. And we will go in Psalm 137, verse 8. We read of the prophet David, which he writes here, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Who art to be destroyed? You're going to be destroyed, Babylon. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou serve to us. This almost is verbatim in Revelation 18:6. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Because this is exactly what the Babylonians did to the Jewish children. Bashed their heads against the stones, killed them, took turns gang raping the women, destroyed the city, tore down the walls, stole all the gold, stole all the wonderful snuffers and shields and everything that were part of the temple. And it was all gold and silver. They utterly raped, pillaged, and plundered the Jewish people as a judgment of God for their sin against him. But in this context of the prophet, we read, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Well, we shall see Babylon was never destroyed. Babylon was flourishing in the 5th century, but Peter writes one of his epistles from Babylon, the Apostle Peter. So Babylon existed in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was probably one of the cities that Satan showed him when he took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the cities of the world. I'm sure he showed him Babylon. Wouldn't you want that, Jesus? Wouldn't you like to have Babylon and Rome? And Greece and Athens, wouldn't you like to have all those cities, Jesus? No, I would not. He refused the temptation of Satan in Luke chapter 4. Well, I'm sure one of those cities that he was shown was Babylon. Babylon had not been destroyed. It was still a city. Still inhabitants in Babylon. Those are historical facts. And so, the prophecy is that Babylon would be destroyed. We read also in Jeremiah 50 and 51 that Babylon will be destroyed. We read in Jeremiah chapter 50. We read verses 13 through 16. 13 through 16. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. So, this is a prophecy here that Babylon is to be a totally desolate and not to be inhabited. We could go on to the next verse. Verse 23. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? We read in Jeremiah 50, verse 40. 39 and 40. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. So Babylon will not be dwelt in as time progresses, generation to generation. This is a millennial kingdom. This is when Christ sits on the throne of David, and a sign to all the nations in the millennial kingdom is just take a little vacation and take a little trip to Babylon, which is an utter desolation. And it's going to stay that way for the entire 1,000 years of Christ's reign. And that's what happens when you unite yourselves against me, the Holy One of Israel, sitting on the throne of David. That's what's going to happen to you. And by the way, at the end of the millennial kingdom, that's exactly what Satan's going to do, seduce all the nations once again as he's released out of the abyss to gather them all together against Jerusalem, and then the Lord's going to destroy all of them by fire. You wouldn't take the testimony of the destruction of Babylon during the millennial kingdom? Well, then you're going to get it at the end of the millennial kingdom with the when the armies of Gog and Magog come up against the holy city, the Jerusalem in which the Lord Jesus Christ has sat and ruled the world for 1,000 years. So you read, and it shall never be no, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Verse 40, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. There's coming a day when Babylon will be completely and totally desolate. Nobody living there. Is that the way it is today? No, I don't think so. Babylon's being rebuilt. And you know who's rebuilding it? Why, the Pope's Holy Roman, 14th Amendment, Socialist, Communist, Corporate Fascist, American Empire with its mighty army and navy and air force. Right now they're bombing Iraq and bombing some of Syria, because they are going to be building the city in Babylon. They don't want that threatened by the Muslims. One thing I will have to say is that the Muslims hate Babylon, and I have to congratulate them for that. So all you Muslims, you're going to be destroyed. You want to stand against the Pope's rebuilding of Babylon? You're going to die for it. And the top Muslim leaders would never do it. In fact, they're facilitating it. The high leaders of Arabia, the Saudi Arabian king of his Wahhabi brand of Islam, is busy backing the rebuilding of Babylon in Iraq. Thanks to the secret society members that he's a part of. High-level Freemasonry. Freemasonry is Babylonian religion in another form. So Babylon is to be destroyed and it will never be inhabited. We read again. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done to Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. This is verse 24 of chapter 51. You see, God has never repaid Babylon for what it did to Jerusalem in 586. Never repaid it. So that means God is going to repay this revived Babylon for what the Babylon of the 6th century BC did to Israel. It's going to get paid for that. You see, nations are nations, and the descendants of a generation of a nation often pay for the sin of the fathers into the third, fourth generation, or even farther. And so is the case with Babylon. So is the case with America. Right now, we're paying for the sins of our fathers, of the World War II generation, and me, the baby boomers, and those thereafter, we're going to continue to pay for that. And ultimately, it will be a horrible national judgment, evidenced by true history of what God does to the nations in repaying them for their iniquity and sin, and especially when you persecute the beloved racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites, pursuant to the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. One of his provisions found before the covenant was established in Genesis 15, and one of those provisions is in Genesis 12, I'll bless you that bless thee, and I'll curse those that curse thee. Yeah. So the Lord's going to be cursing Babylon and judging the revived built city of Babylon for what the ancient city of Babylon did to Israel when it destroyed Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, and the Solomon's Temple. Jeremiah 51, verse 20. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. This didn't happen when the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. It continued to be a city under the authority of Cyrus. They didn't destroy Babylon. We read this prophecy literally. Babylon must be destroyed. It wasn't destroyed after its fall to the Persians. Going on. Verse 37 of Jeremiah 51. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. This is a result of the second coming of Christ, when right before his second coming, he destroys the rebuilt city of Babylon. He's going to use tons of hail coming out of heaven, and he's going to destroy the place with fire, as we read in Revelation 18. Revelation 17 is Rome. Revelation 18 is the rebuilt city of Babylon, the world commercial center. And the harlot religion of Babylon was both in Rome and also in the new commercial capital of the world, the ancient city of Babylon, just with different names. Go on. Verse 43. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land where no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And then he cries in verse 45, my people, the Jewish people, go ye out of the midst of her, go out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Get out of Babylon, you Jews, because there'll be Jews in the ancient city of Babylon doing business, and the Lord warns them, you better get out of there, because I'm going to destroy the city. So, we read again concerning Babylon, Jeremiah 51, verses 61 and 62. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when thou comest to Babylon, it shall see, and shall read all these words, and thou shalt say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. The prophet Jeremiah said Babylon has to be destroyed and desolate forever, at least till the end of this, till the end of this present earth, which will be the end of the millennial kingdom. So this hasn't happened. So therefore, in Satan's mystery of iniquity, you have the religion of Babylon that starts after the flood. Idolatry begins after the flood. It spreads all throughout the world, to Persia, to Greece, to Rome, as the mother-child worship. The pagan trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Mother. The symbol of the phoenix. As phoenix dies, he rises from the dead out of his ashes to be invincible. That's the symbol of the final pope of Rome. Slain with a sword, risen from the dead, Revelation 13, 14. And so Satan has his Roman Empire today under the garb of religion. And that Roman Empire today is the Vatican Empire. Satan's Pax Vaticanus, Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, still today. And they have a symbol with a chi and a rho. the cross, and it looks like a P. Okay, the P is the row, the chi is the cross, and you see that everywhere throughout Romanism. It means the peace of Rome, the Pax Romana. So it's an empire that Satan manifests and keeps building and keeps intact, so that when the rapture takes place or the appearing of Christ takes place for the church, Satan is now unrestricted to bring his final Pope of Rome to power to be the world dictator as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the beast. The beast cannot come to power as long as the Spirit of God is here in believers in Christ on the earth during this time, during this dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 3. So it's waiting in the wings for the elect to be saved. So when the final Gentile and Jew are saved into the body of Christ, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And this is not one of the trumpet judgments of Revelation. This is a special trumpet, and it's a breaking camp. We leave this world. And when we leave this world, when the Spirit of God takes us out of here, and we go to be with Christ in the air, and then home to heaven to meet the Father, then Satan's man of sin can be revealed. Then he can come to power. And Satan knows this. Satan knows when the appearing takes place, he now is released to bring his man of sin to power that Satan will possess. This man will be Satan possessed and rule the world for 42 months. Now, in the context of we seeing that Babylon has to be destroyed, and it's never been destroyed, we also have to realize that Romanism is the continuation of Babylonian religion today. And so I shall quote a couple verses, a couple sentences from Hyslop's great work, The Two Babylons. On page 241 of The Two Babylons by Alexander Hyslop, we read concerning that the Caesar of Rome became the Babylonian pontiff. We read, "The original powers, even of the Roman pontiff, seem to have been by that time abridged. But when Julius Caesar, who had previously been elected Pontifex Maximus," that's the builder of bridges, "became also, as emperor, the supreme civil ruler of the Romans. Then, as head of the Roman state and head of the Roman religion, all the powers and functions of the true legitimate Babylonian pontiff were supremely vested in him, and he found himself in a position to assert these powers." The Roman Caesar had universal spiritual and temporal power. And this is why that in 606, the Pope is given universal spiritual power by Phocas, the Emperor of Constantinople. And in 756, this is why Pepin the Great gave the Pope universal temporal power, the power to rule the nations. The devil making the Pope the exact opposite number of the Babylonian Messiah, of the Roman Caesar. The Pope is a continuation of the King of Babylon, as Hyslop states in his The Two Babylons. The worship of Nimrod and his wife, or the papal worship, proved to be the worship of Nimrod and his wife. We read on page 255 of The Two Babylons, quote, "He and those who cooperated with him in this cause paved the way for the erecting of that tremendous civil and spiritual despotism which began to stand forth full in the face of Europe in AD 606, when, amid the convulsions and confusions of the nations, tossed like a tempestuous sea, the Pope of Rome was made universal bishop." Yeah, by Phocas, out of Constantinople, that murderer. "And when the 10 chief kingdoms of Europe recognized him as Christ's vicar upon earth, the only center of unity, the only source of stability to their thrones, then by his own act and deed, and by the consent of the universal paganism of Rome, he was actually the representative of Dagon. And as he bears upon his head at this day the mitre of Dagon, so there is reason to believe he did then." The Pope of Rome is the continuation of Nimrod of Babylon, having both spiritual and temporal power and the right to rule all nations of the world, as I have proven in my book, Vatican Assassins. Continuing on page 275 of The Two Babylons by Hyslop, we read, "Thus, altogether independent of historical evidence on this point, we are brought to the irresistible conclusion that the worship of Rome is one vast system of devil worship. If it be once admitted that the Pope is the head of the beast from the sea, we are bound on the mere testimony of God, without any other evidence whatever, to receive this as a fact, that consciously or unconsciously, those who worship the Pope are actually worshiping the devil." Amen. Because the Pope holds the place of, as the vicar of Christ, being the vicar of Horus, so that when the final Pope of Rome comes to power, he's slain and comes back to life as Nimrod was slain. He comes back to life as Horus to rule the world. The Pope holds the place for the coming Antichrist. That's why the Roman papacy cannot be destroyed. It's impossible. To set back your this political power in your country, yes, you can do that. But to destroy it, impossible. The Lord needs it to fulfill his scripture, his mystery of godliness, and the devil needs it to fulfill his mystery of iniquity. Impossible to destroy the Roman papacy. So we read, "If it be once admitted that the Pope is the head of the beast from the sea," Pope's actually worship the devil, "but in truth we have historical evidence that, and that of a very remarkable kind, that the Pope, as head of the Chaldean mysteries, is as directly the representative of Satan as he is of the false Messiah of Babylon." Remember, Jews, my Jewish friends, the Christ of Romanism is the false Messiah of Babylon. Has nothing to do with your Messiah of the Old Testament scriptures. Nothing. So, that's the Pope. So, the doctrine facilitates that the Pope of Rome is to be the King of Babylon who's yet to come, with the revival of the building of Babylon and it to be the capital, the commercial capital and political capital of the world. So, we read concerning this coming King of Babylon. We read Isaiah 14, verse 4 and follows, "That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon," and he's talking to his beloved nation of Israel here, "that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased." This is a future king of Babylon. And the Jewish people, the Hebrew Jewish Israelites people, survive his death. And they survive the destruction of Babylon. In this context, why this fits perfectly with Revelation 18, because the Lord Jesus Christ judges Babylon and destroys it just prior, probably an hour or so, whoever knows, but just prior to his physical second coming, when he comes back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah roaring out of Zion, Isaiah 42. "How hath the oppressor ceased?" The oppressor is the king of Babylon, the Antichrist. "The golden city ceased," that's his commercial capital of the world, Babylon, that's being rebuilt today. Who do you think guards the Ishtar gate of the rebuilt ancient city of Babylon? Why, it's the American troops. It's the Pope's American Roman legions that are guarding it. That's why we have the American Legion. It's the American Roman legions of the Pope that do his bidding in restoring the temporal power of the Pope and furthering the mystery of iniquity by launching its troops without declaring war on various and sundry nations for the benefit of the Roman papacy and to the utter disgrace of the American people that permit it. Permit this emergency war powers military government, established on March 9, 1933, by Brother Freemason Franklin Damnable Roosevelt, overseen by his Jesuit advisor, Jesuit Edmund Walsh from Georgetown University. This is a Jesuit-controlled American empire for war and commerce to build Babylon, to build the commercial city, to build the nation of Israel, the revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem, to build a third temple for Jerusalem, all to the detriment of the two races of people that have blessings from God, promises from God, the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites and the racial Arabs. We see that in Isaiah 19. So, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked. That's wicked one. It's the same, the wicked, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the beast. It's the Antichrist. And the scepter of the rulers. And I would imagine those rulers are his 10 kings. He who smote the people in wrath. I'd venture to say it's the Hebrew Jewish Israelites people he's going to kill. Do his best to kill them. In wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet, and they break forth into singing. This is the millennial kingdom after the death of the king of Babylon, destruction of Babylon. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come against us. Hell, or Sheol, hell, where the place of fire is, of Luke 16, from beneath is moved for thee, this man, this king of Babylon, this Antichrist, to meet thee at thy coming. Stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. I shall say this is Satan. The man of Christ is destroyed physically by Christ at the second coming. So this is Satan who is indwelling the king of Babylon. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy vials, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. See, in Sheol there are worms. That's where the worm dieth not, and the fire is unquenchable. Christ spoke of that, quoting Isaiah 66. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? This is when he's cast down in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, Revelation 12, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is what Satan said. And when he said that in his heart, he was cast down in Revelation, in Genesis 1, verse 2. And that's why Christ said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit, and Satan will be confined there for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ, while the man, the beast, the king of Babylon, the Antichrist, will be thrown into the lake of fire by Christ at his second coming, along with the Hebrew Jewish false prophet that served the Antichrist. Now today we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. We live in a time warp between the 69th week of years that ended when Christ declared himself Messiah on April 6, AD 32, according to the wonderful proof and estimations of Sir Robert Anderson and his great work, The Coming Prince, that has never been refuted. And we live between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. And the church, the body of Christ, lives during this dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, also called this present evil world, present evil age, of Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. And meanwhile, during this period of time, during this age, there are two mysteries that run parallel to each other. The mystery of godliness, where the Lord's saving his elect. The Apostle Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they too may obtain salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. As great as the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, believed on the world, brought up into heaven, 1 Timothy 3:16. You have the mystery of godliness there, and you have the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that wicked, that man of sin, shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who exalteth himself above all that's called God, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the end game of Satan's mystery of iniquity. Universal worship of his Babylonian Messiah. The final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword, Revelation 13:14, and risen from the dead. The end game of the mystery of iniquity is the Lord Jesus Christ, mystery of godliness, pardon me. The end game of the mystery of godliness is the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem, ruling the nations with a rod of iron, which will happen. Because you see, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty. He's Jehovah, sent by Jehovah the Father. So this is the parallel mystery of iniquity with mystery of godliness going on right now. And in this mystery of iniquity, Satan is consolidating all power, all financial power, all government power, all military power, all religious power into the hands of a few select men of secret societies who are worshipers of the devil, adhering to the Babylonian religion in their Masonic lodges, no matter what brand of Freemasonry you want to call it, having gone through the rite of Hiram Abiff, being born again in the lodge, and looking forward to the death and rising of the final Pope of Rome. This is Masonic, this is Freemasonry, and all the other secret societies, overseen by the Jesuit order that controls all secret societies, to make the Pope the universal monarch of the world. That's why it is a sin for any Christian man to ever join any secret society. It's wicked and anti-Christ. And you will lose your blessing from God if you do such a thing until you separate yourself from it. Remember, one of the greatest evangelists of the 19th century, Charles Finney. Charles Finney was probably the greatest evangelist at the time. He wrote several books on Freemasonry because he was one. And he showed how satanic it was, denounced it publicly, and guess what? Nobody ever killed him because God took care of him and protected him. When you step into the arena of stepping out to expose wickedness and sin, and you trust God for protection, He'll do it for you. So we go on. We read now in Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah. It's a commercial coin, a measure of commerce. This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. This is the woman of Revelation 17. This is the woman. This is the in charge of commerce, because no one can buy or sell without the woman in this universal religion, the woman of mystery Babylon, that's sitting in the midst of the ephah. All commerce goes back to Rome. You have the universal product code 666. All goes back to the Pope. That's his number. He's got 666 illustrated on the Vatican doors. I show it in my PowerPoint. Get a copy of it. And he said, This is wickedness. Why, of course. She's the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Whenever you have women illustrated like this, it's always satanic. There are no such thing as female angels. All angels are masculine. So when you have the glorification of women wherever, you always have Satan's work. Kind of like here and all this feminism here in America. Satan's work, the glorification of the woman, the sacred feminine. That's right, the worship of the vagina, which is what Romanism is, because it's the Holy Mother Church, the Virgin Mary, Mother of God, constant preoccupation with her vagina. She's a virgin. Out of which will come the man, Satan's Babylonian Messiah, illustrated by the male organ obelisk in Vatican Square. That's what they're looking for. So we read, For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lift, that's an unclean animal in the Old Testament. These women are unclean. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear, where are they going to take this ephah? Whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they taking at the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it a house in the land of Shinar. Shinar is Babylon. And it shall be established and set there on its own base. They're going to move the woman out of Rome to Babylon. It's the same satanic religion. It's the same worship of commerce. The same worship of sex. The same worship of power, money, sex, and power. It's the same religion of Romanism moved over to Babylon in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel so that Babylon can be the world commercial capital. And so this is the old Babylon revived. The present Babylon that we see today out of the Vatican, out of Rome, is to be destroyed. How do we know that? Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17 concerns Romanism, mystery Babylon. It's centered in a city. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's Rome. Mystery Babylon is the woman. It is Rome. It rules over the kings of the earth. But let's see what happens to it. We read. Verse 11 of chapter 17 of Revelation. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the 10 kings, these are 10 literal kings, not 10 kingdoms. Not 10 kingdoms, Mr. Hislop. They're 10 kings. Your amillennialism has perverted your literal reading of the prophecy. That's one of the great wickeds of amillennialism. No earthly kingdom. That's the doctrine of Rome too, by the way, amillennialism. We read, And the beast that was and is not yet, he is the eighth and is of the seven kings and goeth into perdition. So these first seven kings were popes. They were Roman Caesars. And as I show in other broadcasts, the first was Caligula, the second was Claudius, the third was Nero, the fourth was Vespasian, the fifth was Titus, the sixth was Domitian. And the seventh is yet to come. And so the Pope is just as much a Roman Caesar as those first six. And the seventh wasn't Constantine either, because he died and he's in hell today, okay, waiting for the great white throne judgment. So we read, And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And have these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And that's us, those of us that are in Christ, saved by the grace of God, members of the body of Christ, we're coming with him. Amen. And it's going to be most delightful when he doth judge and make war. Amen. And I'll be part of the amen section every time he's wiping out these wicked savages coming to destroy his beloved Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people. I'll be amen, praise God, glory, hallelujah, go get them, Lord. Amen. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, these shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The 10 kings are going to destroy Rome, not the Lord. The 10 kings are destroying it on orders of the beast, the final pope of Rome, slain with a sword, Revelation 13, 14, risen from the dead, as he orders his 10 kings to destroy Rome so that the ephah, the head of commerce, will be moved out of Rome to Babylon, rebuild Babylon. Because Rome is the font of all commerce. It controls London, it controls New York, it controls Paris, it controls Riyadh, it controls all the major commercial cities of the world. Hence, commerce is controlled by the papacy, its College of Cardinals, and the Jesuits who oversee it all. Working for the Black Pope. Because the Jesuits are the revived Knights Templars, who were the masters of commerce during the Dark Ages, till they were suppressed in 1312 by the Pope, Clement V. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's Rome. It sits on seven hills. Oh, it's not Rome, it's Jerusalem. No, it's Rome. Tex Mars always said, it's Jerusalem. Well, that liar, busy serving the Pope of Rome. We read. As it goes on here. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth. Mountains is the Greek word oros, and is translated hills, a hill and a mountain in Luke chapter 9 for the transfiguration. These are the seven hills upon which Rome sits. Of Revelation 17, 18. So the city of Rome, the mystery Babylon religion that's in the city of Rome, will be destroyed. But that mystery Babylon religion is lifted up. Lifted up by those two stork-winged women. And they're taking it down to rebuild Babylon, the city, which is being built today. And they're making a tremendous kingdom of Babylon from Abu Dhabi to Dubai to Baghdad. All these cities are being built by the papacy and control of America and certain European countries with their construction abilities. They're building all this whole region to be the kingdom of the final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead. When the Pope's risen from the dead and he's possessed by Satan, that's the end of Islam. Islam is finished. He'll be the Mahdi. And the devil will unite all these religions together against Christ. That's right, Psalm chapter 2. The nations have taken counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder. So this is the mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. But Revelation 18 is the city of Babylon. It goes on to say, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. Earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils. So now it's looking forward here to the Babylon the great. This is mystery Babylon the great, not Babylon the great. Babylon the great is not mystery Babylon the great. Mystery Babylon the great is Revelation 17. Revelation 18 is mystery as Babylon the great, with no mystery. So now this Babylon the great, the city, is fallen. Become a habitation of devils, a hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean, hateful bird. And so before this, when this Babylon has fallen, the Lord says to his Jewish people, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, my Jewish people, because we're not here, we're not there, those of us in Christ. They're his covenant people by virtue of the Abrahamic covenant. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. That's right, because I'm coming back in power and great glory, and I'm going to destroy this city, this empire, the throne of the beast. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. They're going to be destroyed with fire by the Lord God, not by the ten kings. Mystery Babylon the Great destroyed by the ten kings. They burn her with fire. But Babylon the Great, the city, is destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ just prior to his second coming, and he's going to destroy it with fire. Mm-hmm. It's the same essential Babylonian religion that was in Rome, that's in Babylon at the second coming. This religion having originated in Babylon with Nimrod. Now I want to read to you a couple of verses from a great commentary. It's called The Book of the Revelation by William R. Newell. Great, great commentary. We read from William R. Newell's the Book of the Revelation, page 272, concerning the ancient city of Babylon. what Babylon is. Babylon is a literal city on the Euphrates River with a form of idolatrous worship which began almost immediately after the flood in the days of Nimrod and extended throughout the whole earth. By the way, Masonry loves Nimrod. Okay. We find this first form of Babylon opposed to God's people Israel. Babylon is Satan's capital, just as Jerusalem is God's capital. By the way, that's why the Jesuits hold Jerusalem and Babylon to be the most sacred cities in the world. You can find this in Wiley's work, The History of Protestantism, Volume 2, Chapter 15, when he's dealing with the Jesuit order. 2. So we read Babylon is Satan's capital, just as Jerusalem is God's capital, and we find this first Babylon was permitted under Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem and its temple. 2. Babylon, next, is the same system in another city, Rome, and opposing the same idolatrous system to God's saints of the church age, or this present evil age, in which the church exists. A monstrous system of evil doctrine that unites the world, the church with the world. That's why the papacy hates the First Amendment here. They hate the Baptist First Amendment. That's what it was called. 3. The final form of Babylon is the literal city on the Euphrates, rebuilt as Antichrist's capital of the last days, opposing Israel as God's earthly people, who will have gathered back to their land. This is 1935, he wrote this. They hadn't been gathered back to their land yet in 1948, except William R. Newell just read the scripture prophecy literally, so he knew it to be true, just as we do. Who have gathered back to their land. The church, of course, having been raptured, of course. I don't like the word rapture. I use the word appearing. That's at least 10 different prophecies in the New Testament. The appearing of Christ. The appearing. Which is imminent and momentary. The second coming is not the hope of the church. The appearing is the hope of the church. Titus 2:13 and 14. The blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great God and Savior. Granville Sharp's rule, that's right, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And opposing Jehovah's worship with the most powerful and enslaving form of idolatry that the world has ever known, the worship of the beast and his image. That's what Babylon is. When it was once on the Euphrates River, what it became under Rome, Babylonian religion there, and then the final system, the final city where that religion is transferred to Babylon, from Rome to Babylon. Continue on. And this religion that will be the religion of Babylon, which is essentially the religion of Romanism, has been preserved through the Jesuit order's secret societies, specifically Freemasonry. We read page 275 of Newell's great work, the Book of the Revelation, in a footnote, quote, "The discoveries of Nineveh and Babylon reveal that a secret organization of unbelievers was formed soon after the death of Nimrod, Genesis 10, at a time when open apostasy was dangerous and that its members established their headquarters at Babylon. From this center, they labored with ceaseless activity to confuse and destroy the knowledge of Jehovah in the world and to bring men under the yoke of demon gods. They soon became a powerful and influential body, continuing to be a secret society, not wishing to share their power and privilege with any but those willing to pass through the ordeal of initiation, which included a baptism, after which the initiate was termed, quote-unquote, twice born or regenerate. And the initiate and worship was originally offered to a trinity consisting of father, mother, and son. But the first person was very commonly confused with the third, and at last most entirely forgotten, so that the prominent deities were the mother and son." The mother-child worship, this is out of Babylon, continues in Rome. And this same worship, this same satanic worship preserved with the secret societies will be instituted in the revived Babylon, in the city that's being rebuilt for the Antichrist, when the Antichrist, after he goes down to Jerusalem, demands to be worshipped as God in the third temple, takes a trip right over to Babylon and demands to be worshipped in that temple in Babylon. And I believe that He will build a temple in Babylon according to Daniel chapter 11. And it'll be gold. It'll be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And the commerce capital of the world will be there. From there, he will institute his mark, 666, in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. You can't buy or sell without it, without the mark, the name, or the number of his name. So future Babylon as the capital of the beast, the Antichrist, must take place so it can be destroyed as spoken of in the book of the Revelation. And so we read here some final words from Newell on page 290. We read, over 3 years before the Babylon described in Revelation 18, the beast and his 10 kings have destroyed the harlot, the city on seven hills, page 290. Two, for over 3 years more, the beast and the man of sin, and I say the beast being the man of sin, who denies all that is called God and is worshipped, will have full power on earth. This is the beast, and the false Jewish prophet directs all worship to the beast, this Gentile, probably a white man, because as I always taught, the most wicked men in the world are white. The greatest men in the world are white. It should probably be some white Gentile that's going to be the beast, the Antichrist. For over 3 years more, the beast and the man of sin who denies all that is called God or that is worship will have full power on earth. Rome's motto is Semper Idem, always the same. She cannot deny the Father and Son as Antichrist does and exist. Therefore, it appears necessary to believe that the Babylon of chapter 18 is not Rome, but the great commercial center, Satan's world capital, which has always been Babylon on the Euphrates. So in conclusion, page 291, we have noticed this, but it needs to be reemphasized. Mystery Babylon was destroyed by man's hand, by the beast and his 10 kings. Literal Babylon, with its minstrels, flute players, trumpeters, craftsmen, marrying and giving in marriage, verses 22-23 of Revelation 18, will be overthrown and in an instant swallowed up into the bowels of the earth and with a burning like Sodom and Gomorrah. The earthquake under the seventh seal of Revelation 16-19 was seen destroying Babylon the Great. And by the way, the seventh seal is the second coming of Christ. Just as the sixth seal, the seventh seal is the second coming of Christ. That's right. And then the next verse, Isaiah 13:20, has never been fulfilled, which I read to you. For there are inhabitants there. That's right. The Arabians do pitch their tents, and the shepherds make their flocks to lie down there. But when God destroys it, there shall be no such thing. Unquote. So in conclusion, dear brethren, Revelation 17 is Rome, the city on seven hills. Mystery Babylon the Great. Revelation 18 is the literal city of Babylon, to be the commercial capital of the world with the commerce power taken from Rome to Babylon and its same essential Babylonian religion of which the beast, the Antichrist, will head. So, please remember that, the differences between Revelation 17 and 18. So I trust it was edifying to you. May the Lord bless you as you do his word, do his will according to his word, the AB 1611 Reformation English Bible. I trust you're saved today, that you believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again upon true repentance, because God calls all men everywhere to repentance, a turning from sin and a belief of the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. You deny repentance, you're not preaching the true gospel. Without repentance, there is no faith. Without faith, there is no repentance. Both are a gift from God. Both are necessary for salvation. All men can believe, all men can repent, but no man will repent, no man will believe left to himself, so God must give those gifts in bringing his elect unto salvation. Glory to God. So I'm going to be away from tomorrow till next Wednesday. I'll be in Washington State teaching some of my class and doing some work with a lady there in court, and appreciate your prayers. And so I'll be back, Lord willing, next Thursday. And I'll be on with George a little later today. So until that time, may the Lord bless you as you do his will according to his word, the AB 1611 Reformation English Bible. Maranatha.